campus here is pretty much empty. The university gates are locked and access is extremely limited. Classes and final exams are remote until the end of the semester. On Tuesday night, at the request of Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq, police officers, many of which were in riot gear, cleared pro-Palestinian protesters from the campus. This was the second time police were called onto campus in the last 2 weeks. How have we gotten to this point? Our reporters Fahima Degia, Desiree Nick-Farjam, and Claire Davenport were there, and they join us now. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Claire, take us through the events leading up to the second police intervention.
The protests on campus have been going on for a while now, but things really began to escalate on Sunday when negotiations fell apart after days of talks. The administration said they were not going to divest from Israel, which was one of the protesters' key demands. They also gave demonstrators an ultimatum, which was to leave the encampment on the university lawn or face suspension. And then a little after midnight early on Tuesday, protesters took over Hamilton Hall and barricaded themselves inside.
So for listeners who might not know, why Hamilton Hall?
So there's a history of student protesters occupying Hamilton Hall. In 1968, anti-Vietnam War protesters here occupied the same building, and the administration also called in police with over 700 arrests. And now those protests are something Columbia advertises on its website.
So the president's office has said that inviting the police onto campus again for a second time was because, at least in part, of outside agitators. Is that true?
Yes. The administration and the mayor say bringing police on campus was necessary to remove these outsiders. But as of now, they have not released enough evidence to corroborate these claims, and protesters maintain the occupation was led by students. They also said protesters had broken doors and damaged property, which were acts of destruction, and that the protests had driven hate speech on and around campus. And the university had already made it clear they wanted the protesters and the encampment gone by graduation. For weeks now, as we've walked to our classes and in the studio, we've been able to see scaffolding and equipment for the ceremony stacked up around the tents on the lawn.
Desiree, let's talk about what happened yesterday. So can you just set the scene for us a little bit?
Well, following a press conference by NYPD Commissioner Edward Caban in the evening, there was a sense that police presence was imminent. Here's what he said.
Once the university asks for our help, the NYPD will be there ready to assist them.
As the sun was going down, protesters had linked arms in front of Hamilton Hall, and some of the protesters occupying the building leaned out of the windows on the upper floor to watch. They sang and chanted. A few in front of the building were crying quietly. It was calm and quiet. Then we heard the police sirens from Amsterdam before we saw them, and we knew they were about to come in.
And so then the police did, in fact, arrive. Fahima, what happened next?
Police began making arrests. To be clear, the arrests made outside of the campus gates were not necessarily student protesters, but members of the general public. But once police arrived on campus, they quickly removed members of the press, protesters, and legal observers. Some people ended up locked in dorms. Others were pushed out of the school gates onto Amsterdam Avenue. Hamilton Hall was empty.
So the people who had been occupying Hamilton Hall, what happened to them in the end?
Well, I spoke to some protesters after they were released. They'd been members of a human chain who had been guarding the front door of the building. They said police were using aggressive tactics when removing them. Tactics include pushing a protester against a wall, throwing two protesters on the concrete ground, not giving people medical attention when they needed it. Sources told me people were maced and one person fell down the stairs. Over 100 protesters were arrested, and many are still in the process of arraignment.
And how did the night end for you all?
Once police had finished making their arrests, getting back onto campus took a while. I didn't get back until 1:30 in the morning. I should be clear that I don't live on campus, but some students who did had to wait in line to get back on. I'd estimate maybe about an hour, police were escorting everyone, students and journalists, who wanted to get back onto campus.
I managed to get back on a bit earlier, escorted by police and some journalism faculty. Claire and I saw the encampment being dismantled as we walked back. It took about an hour to clear it. Sanitation trucks had pulled onto campus, and we watched public safety officers throw big trash bags filled with items from the encampment and tents into the trucks.
It sounds like it was a long night for everybody involved. Claire, Fahima, and Desiree, thank you all for your reporting.